I'm glad that we have that friend in Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this morning and the nice weather we have and the opportunity we have to be together once again and hear from you. Thank you that we have this opportunity and nice weather to do it. Just ask that you would bless our time together and help us to be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I'm talking about honoring our parents. And I know that parents aren't around this, and I can get criticized. Mean to honor our parents. To honor our parents because our parents are going through something. By their parents, and so they have a little bit of an idea on how to train us. But our church leaders and our parents never went through COVID-19. They never experienced a church shutdown for 9 weeks or anything like that. So I think it's an important time that we can rally behind our parents and support them and make this job easier for them. And in the Bible, it tells us multiple times to honor our parents. And there are kind of three different phases, that we go through in honoring them. In our youth, we were called to honor them through obedience. And that is in the Ten Commandments. And then Jesus reaffirms that in... And it says that... Honor your father and your mother, and who curses his father and mother, let him be put to death. And that's the Old Testament law. And then the New Testament says, But I say unto you, honor your father and mother. What profit that whosoever may profit, whatever profit you might have, and you receive a gift from God. And then in Ephesians it says, honor your parents, that it may be well with you. And so in contrast, if we don't honor our parents, then it's not going to go well for us. And it goes on to say that for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So we want to be pleasing to God, we're going to honor our parents. It also says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So not honoring our parents is wrong. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So, we, as children at home, we're required to honor our parents. And so honoring is respecting and listening to them. When they tell us to do something versus trying to find ways to argue about it, to just honor them and to do what they want, and even if we don't necessarily agree with it. John Maxwell tells a story about two boys who are on their way home from school talking about their families. One boy said, I've tried to figure out the system for getting along with my mom. The other one says, well, it's very simple. She tells me what to do and I just do it. Seems easier said than done. It seems like there's plenty of times that we find things that we can't honor our parents with or it seems hard to. And the word from the original text literally means obey. In the Septuagint, the word honor means to obey. And so I think it's important that we obey our parents. And it says in Proverbs 6:20, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. In Proverbs 23:22, it says, listen to your father who begot you and do not despise your mother when she is old. I think it's important that the second role of honoring is in our young adulthood. We're called to honor our parents and recognize their wisdom. And the Hebrew word translated honor means to take heavy, to make heavy, or weighty. So if we're to honor our parents, we're to take what they say to heart and take it very seriously. The word picture is weighing down someone with esteem or respect. The opposite of honor is to take something lightly, without honor, or with disrespect. Honor also denotes and deserved to honor also denotes a deserved deference. The command to honor our parents is simplified by another biblical verse that states, we must reverence or take in fear our parents, in Leviticus 19:13. The commandment is not just written to children. It doesn't give any age range or limitations or when you no longer have to. This command covers adult children also. In the Jewish society where this was written, a family was close-knit, and often there would be multiple generations that would live on the same property and would interact with each other pretty often. And eventually the children would take care of their parents. So I think it's important that as we age, our roles with our parents change, where you don't necessarily have to ask permission to stay out late or to go somewhere. we still must honor them in going to talk about how our children can honor their parents, and so our adult children can be honoring to them. And this also uncovers all parents. It doesn't say if they're disqualified or if they're disrespectful or how they treat you. It can be hard sometimes to swallow that, but there is no limitations, and we're called to obey and respect our parents. So I think this is an important time that we can do that with them learning things. So I thought of or came up with a few other things on honoring and a bunch of different analogies. And some of the things our parents do for us that make it easier to want to honor them. I read a story or heard it right on the radio and then read it later to make sure I got it right. And said, one day after school, a boy came home from work and he went to his dad. And he asked his dad how much money he made in an hour. And his dad was like, it's none of your business. And the little boy kept persisting and asking for it. And finally his dad told him that he made $20 in an hour. And this little boy said, I want to borrow $10 from you. And his dad couldn't figure it out. He's trying to figure out, why does this little guy want $10 from me? And so he asked him. And the boy said, well, I have $10 and I want to borrow 10 more so I can buy an hour of your time. I think it's important to know that our children want to be with our children, that children want to be with their parents and want to find ways to be with them. And our dads here play an important role with family, with the business, and with leading in the church. So I want to encourage them, and God loves his children and gave himself for them. That's very obvious in the Bible, and I think that the dads in our church do the same thing. And so we need to find ways to bless them and encourage them in that. And God made the first move in loving his children, then we're called to love him back and to honor him and respect him. And just like the dads here do, they reach out and love them. And dads play an important role. When he was in school, he failed the math test pretty badly. And so his teacher sent him home with a note, and he gave it to his dad. And his dad read the note and told his son that he just doesn't qualify to handle math. Well, the boy never tried to do math then. He said, well, if I can't do it, there's no point in trying. He flunked every math test for the next 3 weeks. Then one day, the teacher wrote a big problem on the board, and nobody in the classroom could solve it. Then this little guy realized that he knew the answer. So he raised his hand, but everyone in the classroom started laughing because they knew he couldn't answer math problems. He went to the blackboard, and he came up with the proper answer. He realized it wasn't that he couldn't do math, it was that he wasn't believed in, and that so he couldn't even try. So I think it's important that dads encourage their children to try and to succeed. God encouraged Moses, and he encouraged Gideon, and yeah, I think that God wants to see us in the same way. So let's encourage our dads. Let's just help them out. They have a big job with work, and they provide to feed us. They train us. They're there to help us fix our bikes or whatever. So being a dad is hard, and we want to make it easier. We want our dads to be proud of us. I remember one time my dad said he was proud of me in a line of work I was in, and I never wanted to quit being a firefighter and EMT because that was the only time I ever heard my dad say he was proud of me, and that's something I was striving for. And I think that it's important that we live lives that our dads can be proud of us in, and to help be a guide and leading in our to help guide and lead our lives. Another person in our family that I think can use a lot of respect and help at this time is our mothers. And behind every husband and dad and son is a mom and a wife. So it's important that we support them and help them along with their life. Abraham Lincoln said, "No one is poor or helpless who has a godly mother." I found that very interesting quote. And so we want to express gratitude and help lighten our mother's loads. Another man said, "Mothers turn a house into a home." And mothers teach us a lot of things in day-to-day life. As I was looking at this morning, I was trying to come up with some things that mothers teach us without necessarily planning on it. Mothers teach us religion. when they say you should pray that that comes out of the carpet. They teach us logic by saying if you fall out of a tree and break your neck, you can't come crying to me. Mothers teach us weather by saying your room looks like a tornado has been through it. They teach you perseverance by telling you to sit still and eat your broccoli. They teach you maturity by saying if you can't eat your vegetables, you can't grow up. They teach us contortionism and ask us to look at the dirt on the back of our necks. I found an interesting story by someone who some of you may recognize. In 1862, a young mother was making her way across the South Wales, carrying a young baby in her arms. During her journey, she was caught in a big snowstorm. She never reached her destination. When the storm died down, the rescuers went out and found her body partially buried in snow. But they found out that before she had died, she'd taken off her outer clothing and wrapped her baby. When they unwrapped the bundle, they were greatly surprised to find the little baby was alive and well. The young mother had endured terrible cold to the point of giving her own life for the sake of her child. Years later, that child became England's greatest prime minister year to date. David Lloyd George was prime minister from 1916 to 1922 and guided Great Britain through victory during the First World War and is known as one of the top five leaders in the world since then. So I think it's important that we can look at our mothers, and it can be easy to find faults in them sometimes and things that we think they should do differently or we wish they would do differently. But they do a lot for us, and they give up a lot for us. And so I think it's essential that we look for ways to honor and to respect them and to be grateful for what they do for us and look for ways to help them and to be a blessing, especially right now with our parents trying to guide us through life right now with all the different things that they've never experienced. I think it's important for our youth to rally behind them and to support them and to be there for them. I found some interesting things here also that, although they're not biblically based, they give a real good idea of some of the roles that our parents play. It says, when God was creating fathers, he started with a tall frame. The angel was standing nearby and asked him, what kind of father are you planning to make? If you're going to make children so close to the ground, why do you have to put fathers up so big and high? He won't be able to shoot marbles with them without kneeling, and he won't be able to tuck his child into bed without bending over. He won't even be able to kiss his child without stooping. God smiled and said, yes, but if I make him child size, who will the children have to look up to, and who will they want to be like? When God made father's hands, they were large and strong. An angel looked at them and said, why do you want to make hands like that? They can't manage diaper buttons or small pins, put rubber bands in ponytails, or even remove splinters caused by baseball bats. God smiled and said, I know, but they're large enough to hold everything a small boy empties from his pockets at the end of the day. They're big enough to hold him in his hand, to hold his head in their hands. God made long and broad shoulders. The angel nearly had a heart attack. He said, what is that for? And God said, how is he going to pull a child loose from when he gets snagged, or lift him down off barn rafters, or set him into the bed of a pickup truck? And God said, a mother's lap disappears when she stands up, but fathers need strong arms to pull sleds, to balance a boy on his bike, or to hold a sleepy head on the way home from church. God was in the middle of making the two biggest feet an angel had ever seen. That's not fair, said the angel. Do you honestly think those large boots are going to get out of bed early in the morning when the baby cries? God smiled and said, they'll work. You see, they'll scare off the mice in the summer cabin. They'll walk through the snow, leaving footprints for boys to jump in between and try to step in. God said, I made man in my own image, and this is how I am. When God created mothers, he was working overtime. God looked at the specs. They had to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable, to run on black coffee and leftovers. To have a lap that disappears when they stand up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to broken hearts. And 6 pairs of hands. 6 hands, said the angel. How is she supposed to work with that many hands? God says, these mothers are going to stay very busy. They have 3 pairs of eyes, although you can't see them all. One pair sees through closet doors and asks, what are you kids doing in there? When she already knows. Mothers have set of eyes in the back of their head to watch the back pot on the back of the stove to see it doesn't burn. And a set of eyes that can look at a child lovingly and say, when he goofs up, I understand, I love you, without uttering a single word. God made mothers that they can serve even when they're sick, that they can get better before everyone else because they have a family of six to feed on 1 pound of hamburger and a 9-year-old that still needs to get a shower. God said mothers have to be tough because they have a big job to do, but they have to be soft too. They can think and reason and compromise and compromise, yet keeping secrets too. Mothers are to be there for their dads and their husbands and their fathers, to be a support and to help their kids through life, to teach them school. Of course, mothers have to have a lot to do, and they have to have a lot into them. So, like I said, that's not biblically based, but it gives us a good idea what our mothers do for us and our dads. So let's be there for them and support them and encourage them. Thank you.